Hey everybody, this is Gary Vaynerchuk, author of Crush It, The Thank You Economy, and soon to be released, Jab, 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 Right Hook, and you're listening to the Relentless Dentist Podcast.
The Relentless Dentist Podcast.
The number one non-clinical, non-boring, no excuses show for dentists who aren't interested in the status quo. This is the Relentless Dentist Podcast.
Okay, Relentless Dentist, let's get started. I'm very excited to introduce my guest today, Dr. Dan Merritt. How are you doing today, Dan?
I am doing excellent, David. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for joining us today and sharing your story. Dan is no ordinary dentist. He's like me, an entrepreneur. He founded a social media platform called newdocs.com that I was familiar with, and it helped me launch my startup practice. A few years ago, he started Quality Dental Plan. I know he's an adventure athlete. He's an all-around cool guy. And Dan, I really appreciate you because I think more than anyone I know, you understand the wedge that insurance companies can put between a doctor and a patient relationship. And you're doing something about that. And I really appreciate that. So this is a brief overview on you, Dan. Can you give us a little bit more, some details on what you're doing this year, what you're up to these days?
Sure. And you mentioned Quality Dental Plan and mentioned insurance and its involvement in our dental practices. And one of the challenges that we all face in practice is when patients come in and they ask questions like, can you recommend an insurance for me? I don't have insurance. Or they'd say, my insurance doesn't cover this procedure. Or I ran out of my insurance benefits for this year. I have to wait till next year to get my work done. Or, you know, unfortunately, we do get the statements sometimes where I'm losing my insurance. I can't come back to see you anymore.
Yeah.
So it seems like that mindset is happening more and more in practices these days. And so what we asked ourselves is, what can we provide as an alternative? What can we give our patients? Okay. What does the consumer want? And so they were looking for some sort of benefit. But what we found what they were looking for was peace of mind. We wanted to give them peace of mind. So what we went about was looking for a solution to offer patients some sort of alternative to traditional insurance. And when we couldn't find one, we created Quality Dental Plan. And so the whole basis of Quality Dental Plan was to keep the relationship between the dental office and the patient the way it should be, no third-party involvement. So it allows us to offer a plan to patients who don't have insurance and to members of the community who feel they need insurance to visit the dentist. And with 60% of the population not having insurance, that's a majority of the population out there. So we're increasing access to care. So ultimately, the goal was to increase access to care, get our communities healthier by providing a plan that makes sense for both us and the patient, not the insurance company.
Absolutely. And what I tell patients is you just go to the biggest city or go to a stadium and look up and there's an insurance company. So, not always do they have your best interest at heart. And I feel like so much of the profession is committed to delivering outstanding care to the patient. And if insurance becomes a barrier to outstanding care, then is it a real resource or is it a liability?
That's right.
You'll be glad to know that this week I had an insurance agent, a contractor that has every sort of disability health insurance plan under his kind of ability to sell anyway, brought his three kids in and signed them all up for Quality Dental Plan. So he has inside knowledge and realized that policy for them were not in their best interest.
Well, it really makes sense, David. If you look at the relationship, any business relationship that's out there, when you have a middleman that comes in between a transaction, that middleman needs to make some sort of profit.
Totally.
And that's okay. That's kind of the way the business world works. However, if you can eliminate that middleman, you're able to pass the savings on to the other two parties in the transaction. In our case, we have dentist, we have insurance company, we have patient. So if you eliminate the insurance company, you can pass those savings and the cost associated with that insurance company. And that's everything from processing, administration, team time, and the loss from accepting a lower fee if you're accepting a PPO. And you pass those savings on to both of the other two parties in the transaction, in our case, dentist and patient. It's a win-win for everyone involved.
I totally agree. So Dan, I'd like the listeners to know a little bit about more who you are. And part of Relentless Dentist is we really want dentists to live inspired lives. So to kind of get that motivational ball rolling, do you have a success quote or a mantra that you apply regularly to your life?
You know, I do. And there's a saying I like to go by. It's called firm in policy, flexible in procedure.
Right.
And you know, that applies to a lot of different areas. You have some firm beliefs in our lives, whether it's a personal or professional. But I always like to remain flexible in my thinking, or encourage my mind to be flexible, so I can look at new ideas that are out there, and whether they apply to me or would be applicable to the goals that I have for myself. At least I'm opening myself up and being available to listen and actually take them in and digest them and see if this would be a good fit for what I have for my vision, rather than just discounting what anybody says right off the start. So firm in policy, flexible in procedure is always a good one I like to use, and that's one of one of the ones that I've heard that I like. Another one, and I love quotes, David. That's one thing that I really enjoy. I mean, you know, from Facebook, I'm posting quotes.
Absolutely.
But another one that I kind of came up with on the fly, I posted, and it was: becoming a strong leader frees up time to do the things you enjoy most by allowing you to delegate what you enjoy least.
Wow.
Okay, so yeah. Let me say that again. Becoming a strong leader frees up time to do the things you enjoy most by allowing you to delegate what you enjoy least. So, you know, that one was huge, because I think we as dentists, we try to do a lot of things ourselves.
That's,
I mean, we're highly educated. I mean, in dental school, lots of times we don't have assistants, so we're assisting ourselves as well. And so, you know, we're trained to do a lot of things ourselves and believe that we're the experts in a lot of different roles. But what it really comes down to is finding out what you're good at. What are you best at? And if you're a dentist, you are the expert at providing dentistry. So when you're looking at your practice, look at yourself and say, what can I do to allow me to do more dentistry? What can I delegate and delegate effectively to my team so I can do what I enjoy most, which is most dentists is the dentistry, and have the team do the rest.
That's fantastic. And I think as you speak to both those quotes, in the rapidly changing climate of not only dentistry, but just the whole tech space, you know, you think about the ability to outsource and really focusing on the things that you're skilled at. That's ultimately providing the most value for the people that you interface with, whether that be your team, or especially in a case where, you know, some of these dentists have several thousand patients. It's important that they get your complete focus to get the optimum care when they're in your chair, and that's what they're trusting you for.
You're absolutely right. And when you have a lot of different details of running a practice pulling you in a lot of different directions because you find yourself micromanaging perhaps more than you should, are you really giving all of yourself to those patients and to providing that care and being the provider that a lot of these patients expect? You know, one of the things I think that separates us out from perhaps some of the physicians and such that are out there, I mean, we are directly involved in these patients' personal space, usually all the time when they come in.
Oh, yeah.
Whether it's our hygienist or whether it's us providing restorative treatment, you know, we are with them. And the more we're able to do that, that's what it allows us to accomplish our mission as a dentist and provide the care to the communities we serve.
Well, thank you for sharing those quotes. I think they'll be impactful for anyone who listens. If you don't mind, I'd like to take a big step back to your childhood and kind of dig in deep as who made Dr. Dan and what made Dr. Dan. Can you tell us where you grew up and a little bit about your childhood?
Sure. I grew up in a working class neighborhood in North New Jersey, about 5 minutes outside of New York City, a town called Wallington, New Jersey. And, you know, it was, oh gosh, maybe 1 mile big, and we had like 25,000 people in it, but we were surrounded by all other little tiny towns with 30,000 people in it. And, you know, I live in Oregon now, but my county in New Jersey had more people in it than the whole state of Oregon, you know? And so, so that's where I grew up, in the environment I grew up. My mom was a medical secretary. My dad was a maintenance mechanic. He worked 6 10-hour days, you know, so the time I got to spend with him was fantastic, you know, when he would come back from work. But very much everyone was part of working. I grew up in the same household that my dad grew up in. My grandparents lived with us. And, you know, so we had, what, three generations under one roof, you know.
Wow.
And for me, life was – I didn't know any different, you know. I mean, I shared a room with my brother at one point, you know. I you know, for the longest time, I guess I could say, until I moved out. But, you know, we learned to share a lot, I guess, and work together. Although when you have an older brother, the term share doesn't apply all the time, right?
I am that older brother. So, yeah.
But anyway, yeah. So I had an older brother and he beat me up every single day. You know, I mean, that's kind of how it worked.
So that made you tough and established work ethic and all those things that probably play out today.
Absolutely. You know, my dad and you know, the people that were most influential in my life, I have to say my mom and my dad. My dad was a quiet leader. He led by example. You know, his work ethic that he had, and we always did projects around the house, whether it was roofing or, you know, replacing the engine in the car and doing all these things to help us save money. My dad, he was a jack of all trades and did all these types of things and always said, if you're going to do something, it's worth doing your best.
Yes.
You know, and always repeated that. I mean, if you're really taking time out of your life to do anything, why not be the best you can using that time? Because you will never get that time back. So, you know, he really drove that point home to me, no matter what it was we were doing. And, you know, my mom, she's a fireball. She still is a fireball. She wore the pants in the family. She was the disciplinarian. But, you know, she never backed down from anything, always looked at challenges and faced them head on. And, you know, I played a lot of sports and, you know, she always was there and said, you know, pick yourself up, get back in there and keep going. You know, you're not going to always be the best one out there, but you can always give it your best. So, you know, those are the two most influential people in my life growing up. They still are. They're fantastic. They live out here now. They moved out to Oregon. So I have a very good relationship with them now.
Well, thank you for sharing that. You know, I think I'm a big reader, and I always felt like you always got the happy ending and not the stories about the hard work and the hustle and the getting beat up by your older brother or whatever it may be, but it all influences who we are as, I think, successful professionals.
It does. It's that journey. It's that journey that you take, and, you know, it begins in our childhood and who influences us most. You know, you being a parent, you understand, you know, what is it your child is seeing? What is the information they're taking in? And how can you best influence their life and the messages you share with them? You know, I was the first one in my family to go to college. I mean, cousins I had didn't go. I was the youngest in my family as well. And when I say that, I mean extended family. And no one ever went to college. I was the first one to go. And it was kind of like, you know, people were expecting me to carry the torch, I guess, right? It was. And you know, so I don't want to say there was any pressure on me. I really didn't feel any pressure. But I never realized how important that really was until after I graduated from dental school and how, you know, people saw they were very proud of the accomplishments. But in my mind, I was just kind of doing what I set out to do, which is another goal. But I didn't realize until later how important that was as far as for family.
And people don't sometimes understand the possibilities until they see somebody they know accomplish those goals that maybe even weren't even on the radar at any point in time in their lives.
David, you know, you hit it on the head. For myself, I had the opportunity to go to a private Catholic school. And, you know, most people in my town where I grew up, they kind of went into trades and doing things. And I wasn't exposed to a lot of, I guess, professionals or anybody in my life. But when I did go to this school, I saw what there were possibilities. There were a lot of parents there who were professionals. There were parents who did different things in business. There were other my friends, families and stuff. I saw a different way of living that I didn't get where I grew up, and really said to myself, you know, what do I need to do to go ahead and kind of achieve to explore what life has to offer, because so much more opened up to me. And, you know, I go back every year, actually, since my last year of dental school, I go back to my high school where I graduated from and talk to the seniors just about possibilities in life and what's out there. And they always ask me, they say, well, why did you move to Oregon? What's in Oregon? You know, and for me, you know, it was, you know, go out there and look around, explore, see what the world has to offer, and find out who you are, you know, in the process, and what you want out of life.
So let's stay a little bit more on that education. Did you stay in the Northeast for dental school?
I did. In dental school, I actually went to Temple University in dental school. Graduated in 2001. So yeah, North Philly, Temple University, you know, it was North Philly. What can I say? It wasn't the greatest of neighborhoods, but it was a great place to learn and practice clinical skills before I got out.
And before that, am I correct in saying you were an athlete in undergrad?
Yes, you know, my undergrad experience was interesting. Just real quick, I went to 5 different undergraduate schools.
Wow.
Still wound up graduating in 3.5 years, but it was kind of a study abroad in my own country. I started off at Gettysburg College in South Central Pennsylvania, then transferred to University of Arizona. Loved Arizona, loved being out west, thought it was very cool, but they cut out-of-state financial aid. I couldn't afford to go there anymore. Transferred to Penn State. They helped me out financially over at Penn State. In between, I took summer classes at, Rutgers University, and then also William Patterson University, both in New Jersey, of course. And then, so I graduated early. I was paying for it myself, so I had to find ways to save money. I worked. I had jobs while I was going through school. I had jobs in dental school.
Wow. Gary Vaynerchuk is kind of a hero of mine in books that I read. And as he mentioned, it's all about the hustle, and there's no doubt that that certainly applied to your educational career.
I tell you what, that's for sure, you know, and it's understanding, you know, part of it, and this applies to business as well, and in dental business, it's understanding the game. What are the rules of the game? Okay, what are you playing here? And I don't want to say your business is a game, because it's not. It's very serious. I mean, it is your livelihood, but understanding what the rules are and how you can best take advantage of those rules and make the most of your time while you're doing what you're doing. It goes back to that delegation and being a good leader. You know, when you're a leader, you understand the strategy of what's out there. And I think, you know, that applies to a lot of different facets of life.
Well, moving on beyond your education, can we talk? I know I just touched on briefly New Docs, Quality Dental Plan we talked a little bit about. Can you tell me a little bit more about your professional journey moving out to Oregon and what happened after dental school?
Sure. You know, moved out to Oregon. I didn't know anybody out here. It was just kind of a dream I had. I wanted to live out west. And so a week after graduated from dental school, I moved out west. I settled into a great practice. I couldn't ask for a better place to be right out of dental school. Dr. Lauren Rice in Northeast Portland. He was a mentor right off the bat. He was there to help if I needed it, but he didn't hang over my shoulder. You know, it's one of these associate positions that you hear and people dream of, you know, and so it was fantastic to be in that practice. But ultimately, I didn't want to live in the city anymore. I wanted to be someplace more rural. So I moved to Southern Oregon. I purchased a practice everybody told me to run from, including everybody on the online message boards, too, told me to run from it. Because it was on a side street. There was no parking. There was no visibility. It was in an old dilapidated house, kind of like a Victorian house. Had a very cute porch, though. But otherwise, the floors bounced when you walked on them. So when I was taking an x-ray, you know, I would set up the cone and I would move out of the room very slowly, because if I moved too much, the x-ray head would bounce. You know, and in the summer times, the AC didn't work all that well. We had box fans. In the wintertime, we had space heaters. I mean, there were, you know, you can almost see the outsides of you can almost see the outside through the walls, you know, through the cracks in the wall. So, yeah, it was very interesting. But the numbers were good. And see, that's where, you know, having some business knowledge or understanding the numbers and looking at the numbers really made sense. I bought the practice based on the numbers, and the numbers were able to support my vision. And so what we did is we worked in that practice, and, you know, we eventually moved, which was great, to a better location, better parking, better visibility and everything. But it was, you know, starting off in something like that, you really appreciate when you move into a facility where everything's working as it should.
That sounds like a classic fixer-upper.
Yeah, it was a diamond that needed a lot of polishing. Definitely a diamond in the rough.
But the numbers tell a story, right? You mentioned that. I think that's the missing thing. There can be I had looked at several practices before I started my own, and there can be things that look beautiful on the outside, and you do a few chart audits and look at the numbers and look at the AR and things like that, and that's the real story behind the curtain you don't always get to see.
Yeah, exactly. And you have to digest those numbers. You have to take them in, have some good advisors, have some mentors that are out there that can help you look at them and give you a different point of view than maybe how you're seeing them, you know. And for me, I had a lot of people give me a different point of view, you know, and it was great. It allowed me to kind of take the entire picture, look at it, and make an informed decision. And, you know, it definitely wasn't easy. I mean, there was a lot of work that needed to be done, but for me, that's where the sweat equity came in.
Right.
You know, it was about putting that sweat equity into it.
Right. So we talked a little bit about the happy ending, and you've been fantastic about sharing with us the hard work and rolling up your sleeves and what it takes to be successful. Would you mind sharing a moment of failure that you've had in your professional career and how you bounced back from that?
You know, it's really interesting you asked me that question. I was debating on how to go about and answer this and what to share. And you know, in our life, we encounter lots of different failures and challenges, and how we respond to those really shapes who we are and what we do, and really what our purpose is in life. For me, gosh, and this is even just hard to say. You know, I was diagnosed with a medical condition that prevented me from moving forward in the practice of clinical dentistry.
Mm-hmm.
And not to get into too many details of it, but a decision needed to be made where it was very difficult to make what the decision to stop practicing clinical dentistry, but it was the obvious direction. I don't want to get too involved with my medical condition here, but if you thought about the amount of time we spend in our educational process, I don't know what, 20, 22 years to become a dentist, you know, if you count everything,
yeah.
And then building up our practice and enjoying the fruits of that labor, then one day having somebody tell you can't do that anymore.
Wow.
I really can't say it was a failure of mine, but a challenge, something very unexpected.
Right.
And, you know, I looked at it and I mean, it was difficult. Here was something I trained for. I put my time in, my blood, sweat, tears, and everything into, and all of a sudden, one day, the rug was pulled out from underneath me.
Gosh.
What was I going to do? Yeah. You know, what do you do when your life is your career? You know, I don't want to say, you know, as dentists, we don't have personal lives and other things outside of dentists, but we spend a lot of time, you know, becoming professionals and becoming experts.
It's how we define ourselves, yeah.
Exactly. And so for me, it was very challenging to face that news. And, you know, one of the other aspects of practice I enjoyed, you know, I actually worked with my wife in practice. And, you know, every day going to the office with her, enjoying the challenges and the successes of that office were taken away. And that was one of the beauties that I enjoyed. So for 8 months, maybe, she would go off to the office. And I was lucky enough at the time to have a partner that we brought into the practice. So they were able to pick up some of the slack. But yeah, I was home in my robe waving goodbye to her and saying, okay, what the heck am I going to do now? You know, Quality Dental Plan at the time, the idea was in its infancy. And so what I did, I said, okay, hark back to my childhood. You get knocked down. You got to pick yourself back up again. I put my energy and time into creating something that was going to allow me to put my energy into, but also make an impact in the world. And so, that was a challenge to overcome. And still, you know, it's hard for me to talk about it now. It's hard for me to look at it and look back at it. But, you know, I lean on the fact that a lot of people are being helped. This is something that had to happen. This is something good that's come out of it.
Well, I can, you know, I know that it's difficult for you to share, but I can't thank you enough for being candid about that, because I think all of our lives have adversity. Sometimes it's a health condition. Sometimes it's a business failure. Sometimes you just hired the wrong person and you have to let them go. But as dentists, we put a lot on ourselves, not only clinically, but as members of the community. And so I think it helps people relate to their own situation when they know that it is an easy street. You know, it takes a lot of education, like you said, but beyond that, you're just getting warmed up by the time you start a practice. So I really appreciate you sharing that.
Sure, sure. You know what, David, it comes down to, and this is interesting, the way I look at it now, it could be worse. I mean, really, if this is the cards that I'm dealt in life, you know, it could be worse. And if I can make a recommendation to anyone who's listening, go out and donate some time in the world. Use your skill to give back to the community, because you really start to realize how much you do have and what you can do with those skills. You know, for example, I was big into coaching basketball for Special Olympics. And man, I tell you, these athletes and what they can do, I mean, inspire me. I look at myself and say, wow, look at this. I mean, they are amazing. And so it's things like that that really allow you to self-reflect and look at what you do have and make the most of the situation. Another was volunteering. I went to 2 weeks to Nepal to do a volunteer dental mission trip in Nepal. And these people had nothing and they wanted to give you everything and they were happy to do it. They were happy that you were just there to help them and look at them. And you know, the struggles that they go through every day are finding food, finding water.
Yeah.
You know, how are they going to eat the next day? And so, you know, when for me, the challenge when I came back from that, one of my first patients was one of these, you know, children we get in practice who maybe is fearful of the dentist or maybe a little stubborn or maybe a little bit of both. And, Johnny wouldn't even open his mouth for me when I'm back in practice that first day. And mom is bribing him with an Xbox game, right? And so I'm looking at this and say, oh, man, last week I was just in this third world country. And these kids, you know, we gave them like a little balloon and they were the happiest kids on earth. And here mom is bribing Johnny to open his mouth for an Xbox game just for me to do an exam. You know, it was just such contrast.
It's all a perspective. I think in America, sometimes we get confused about what are our wants and what are our needs. I spent a few weeks in Angola and they had just completed a 16-year civil war or something like that. And you go into these villages and you don't see old people. Like the life expectancy is probably younger than you and I. And you see moms walking their kid into the medical tent with malaria and they're an IV away from being saved, but that's not readily available for them. So when you see those kids running around on broken glass with bare feet, it makes you realize that a bad day at the office really isn't so bad.
Yeah, exactly. And that's one of the things that, you know, you take away from something like this. You can see the challenges in your practice, and it's not the end of the world. You know, I mean, you will overcome them. There are people here to help you out. There are people out there that are willing to be mentors. You know, the Relentless Dentist, I mean, come on, you guys, you know, you're providing information. There's people out there that can go ahead and give you some insight into how to overcome these challenges.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story. One last thing, I'd like us to enter what we're going to call the relentless round. I'm going to deliver 5 rapid fire questions. And if you would come back with direct and to the point answers for our listeners.
Got it.
Ready?
Go.
Dan, what are you scared of?
Failure.
You're by all measures a successful person, but what are the biggest barriers you've had to success?
My fear of failure.
What is the best piece of advice you've ever received?
Know yourself and why you do the things you do.
What one book would you recommend every dentist read?
You know, I have to say two here, David. So one would be one would be The E-Myth. That's basic. That should be read in dental school. The E-Myth, and the other is called The Achievers by Dr. Gerald Bell. It's a leadership book.
Wow. Well, I'm very familiar with Michael Gerber and The E-Myth, but I'll definitely put the other one in my library. I've not read that. Final question. Dan, really more than anything, we want dentists to not live a life of that somebody told them that they had to live, not a life of conformity, but a life that they really want to live. We're calling it the epic life. I think you're definitely on that journey. What one coaching tip would you give someone who's reluctant, an apprehensive dentist, reluctant dentist that wishes to overcome their excuses? What advice would you give them if they wanted to become a relentless dentist?
You know, it goes back to the advice, know yourself. Know your intentions. Why are you doing what you do? Once you make the decision to do something and you want to achieve a certain goal or a certain level of success, you need to make it as important as breathing. Every day you wake up, that needs to be on the forefront of your mind. I'm not saying neglect your family or neglect other things that are important to you in your life, but if you want to achieve your goals as a dentist, you need to put them in the forefront and take a step back, look at what you're doing and see if your momentum is in that direction. And if it's not, change your sails, right your rudders, get yourself moving in that direction, because that's what's going to help you to achieve your dreams. And again, make it as important as breathing. Every day you're focused on that goal.
Wow. Dan, thanks so much. I'm looking down at my notes here. We've talked about pursuing dreams. We've talked about work ethic, leadership, hustle, having a vision, overcoming adversity. The message in the 30 minutes that you just provided us is invaluable. So thank you so much for your time and your wisdom and your inspiration.
David, I'm just honored you had me on, man. I love being here and doing these types of discussions because you know, so much good comes out of it. I'm honored that you invited me. Thanks so much, and if I can ever be of assistance, just always let me know.
Well, you're too kind. If listeners, no doubt, will want to reach out to you, how do they find you on the web, get to know more about QDP or Dr. Dan?
Sure. Easiest way, I mean, you can always visit our website, which is qdpdentist.com. So think quality dental plan, qdpdentist.com. You can find out more about us there. And, Twitter, Dan Marrett, DMD, go ahead and, look us up, find me. I'm here to help in any way I can.
Dan, I've got adrenaline going now. I thank you so much again. All these links and mentions will be linked up in the show notes at relentlessdentist.com. So anyone that is looking after those resources. So again, I'm so grateful. I know that dentists will, because of this conversation, will be one step closer to their epic life. So thank you very much.
Happy to do it. Be relentless. Pursue those goals and dreams.
That's right.
Thanks, David.
Thank you, Dan.
This has been The Relentless Dentist with Dr. Dave and Dr. K, helping dentists live an epic life. Join us next time for more game-changing information and inspiration.